Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm not sure who this is for, but the Bible tells us that we're meant to guard our mind. And it's because of ever just paid attention to the influence sometimes just people speaking in your life can have on your life. Sometimes you can be in this place, right, where you're like, God, I know exactly what you're telling me. And then if you start to listen to some people around you who begin to start telling you, no, healing's not coming. What do you mean? No, that's not happening. That's not the way things are happening. Sometimes if we don't guard our minds, we begin to let the outside influences begin to influence us over what God's told us in our life already. It's important that when He gives you a word, you stand on that word regardless of the circumstances happening in your life. Regardless of what you see physically happening, knowing that, God, I am not of this world, but I'm of the kingdom. And when you give me a word, then that word is what stands. The Bible is true. God does not lie. And when He gives you something, it's meant for you to stand on it, regardless of the storm or the troubles that you're going through in your life. And I promise you that if you just stand on it and watch what He does in your life, if you just wait on Him, the result of what will happen from you waiting and regardless of you needing a result now will be so much better when you're waiting on Him. Today, the songs have been a lot. I thought when I was preparing this, they were a lot about joy and the joy of the Lord. But the more we've gone through these, the more God's just, I can feel Him just speaking and speaking about worshiping through the moments. They're not just words. The joy of the Lord is my strength is something we can say over and over. But sometimes those moments of saying the joy of the Lord is my strength, even when you're at your lowest, can be so powerful. Because it's those moments that you decide, regardless of what I am seeing, I am worshiping you through this moment. And that is where joy comes from, is spending the time with Him, interceding, like allowing there to be intercession with God, communicating, spending time, and just standing on the things that He's told you. You'll begin to see things in your life just come alive. It's those moments, the dry bones coming alive. It's the dry seasons in your life just flowing with water. It's all of those things that the Bible promises you. You'll begin to see them as you stand on His word and wait. God, I'm not moving from this moment. I'm not gonna let anything get in the way of what you have promised me. Those are powerful moments in your life. It's the same thing in this song. Great are you, Lord. Greater than anything that might come against my life, anything that might come against my body, anything that might come against my relationships, anything that might come against my marriage, anything that might come against everything that you have given me in my life. I am standing on you in this moment for the promises that you have given me. Whoo, come on, church. We can sing about the joy of the Lord. We can sing about heaven on earth. But when we start walking in these moments in our life is when we begin to see those things come to pass in our life. Whew.
I don't really have a poem for you today. I'm working on it. God is trying to perfect it in me. I know that because I've been working on it all week and I wouldn't look it up. But it's Philippians 1:6, and I knew the verse. I just didn't have all of it in my knowledge base until this morning when I decided, well, I better open up God's word to that verse because I've been reading other things all week. But it's, he who has begun a good work in you shall perfect it in, in the time of Christ, you know. But it just spoke to me. All week I was going through different things, and that verse just ministered to me all week, even though I didn't take time to look it up.
Amen.
And another thing is, God forgives us so much all the time. He's forgiving me over and over for silly things I do, for silly things that I forget to do. And he always is a God of second and third and fourth chances. He's so forgiving and so loving that we should rejoice fully every day in that knowledge.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just had the privilege of being in Israel, and it was so amazing. But the one thing I did is I got to go to the Wailing Wall, and what an experience. You know, I thought I'd be emotional, but I was like over the top emotional. When you go there, you feel the Holy Spirit, and you feel it so strongly. And I prayed for Saudi, the house of worship. So we're in that wall, and our prayers are there for growth spiritually, for growth for our church, for growth for us financially, for growth for us in doing what it is that God asks us to do, each and every one of us, for healings. And so I just want you to know that even though I wasn't here a couple Sundays, I was there praying for this church. And I know that God is doing a mighty work. And the one thing about the prayers, once they're taken from the wall, they're buried and they're prayed over. And God knows our prayers. So I just want you to know and be encouraged that a change is happening now. God is with us. He's for us. And there's nothing that we can't accomplish with him. But we've got to start walking in that knowledge. Remember, we only need a faith of the mustard seed in order to move forward and for him to answer our prayers. So today, I know we're going to have communion. Know that he heals us in so many ways, mentally, physically, spiritually. This is your hour, people, is to know that God is here right now with us and that he is answering our prayers. And Saudi, the house of worship, the prayers are in Israel, and where, you know, we couldn't be in a better spot. And you know what? We can be anywhere and he hears us. But it just was extra special to be able to pray for all of us, for our pastors, for each one of us that come here, for, you know, God just to send the workers and for us that are here, that we're able to touch their lives and make a difference and that we walk in the plan that he has for us. No more can you just come to church and then go home and say, well, that was a lovely service. We've got to walk it. We've got to touch other people and show them the love of our God is limitless. And that we can do and accomplish anything and everything that he sets us to start walking. So please, I encourage you, whatever you're going through, he's right here with you. Okay? Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, sister, that scripture you said, Wendy, you know, he that began a good work in you. Same one that I was thinking, where are you? Wendy, there you are. Hey, man. Yeah. It says that he is faithful to complete the work. How many say amen to that? Amen. He's going to complete it in you. Amen. Can I just tell you, just let you know this, that God has a plan that he's had from begin, but even before he created the heavens and the earth. And he's going to do that plan. How many say amen? And I'm going to tell you, you're part of this plan. His plan is to bring his kingdom into the earth like it's never been before. How many say amen to that? Because we're taking over, guys. Come on, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy. But in this kingdom, folks, I mean, here's the word that I feel God is saying. There is no upper class. There's no middle class. There's no lower class. In this kingdom, there's no racism. There's no division of people in their color. Amen? In this kingdom, listen. In this kingdom, there is no unforgiveness. This kingdom is all forgiveness. Can you say amen? In this kingdom, come on, man. Woo, hallelujah. There's no divisions in churches. Can I say that to you? Churches aren't the kingdom. Churches are a picture of the kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? It's not the church. It's the kingdom that's important. It is the kingdom and it alone. And that unchanging person of Jesus Christ, that's what's the important thing, because he never changes. And his kingdom is forever and ever. Daniel said that. He saw it and he heard it when he was talking to the kings. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It'll never pass away. Amen. What's that to do with you? You are part of the kingdom of God in the earth today, driven by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything that you do needs to be spirit driven. Can I tell you that? Don't just make up a thing to go do and go do it. God is saying, be led by my spirit. If he's not leading you, don't go. Amen? Amen. If he is leading you, go. Amen? Amen. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Whatever he tells you, just do it. You will find that the blessing of God is upon it. You'll find that whatever it is that he tells you to do and you immediately do it, then the blessing of God is upon it. You'll sense it and you'll see that he will give you more and more to do. Can I you say amen to that? Because he is a loving God and he wants you to know that he's taking you someplace. This kingdom is bigger than what we can even imagine. Is that okay?
Amen.
It's bigger. It's bigger and you're part of it. Age has nothing to do with this kingdom. Youth has nothing to do with this kingdom. Male or female, isn't that what the Word of God says? Has nothing to do. It's the kingdom of God. There are no classes. It's all the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I will say to you this morning, I sense God is speaking. He's going to speak through Pastor John, wherever he went. There he goes. He's going to speak to your heart. The Holy Ghost is going to give you something today. Today. If he hasn't given it to you already. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like this girl. See, if anybody can get her number so I can try calling.
He makes it hard. He makes it hard for me to do this. Becca was speaking of joy and praise. This is a Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Joy, joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee.
Amen.
Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we good?
You know, the brothers was talking about the kingdom of God, you know. And to me, it's a beautiful kingdom. It's a forgiving kingdom, you know. It knows, you know, gives us that peace at least to all understanding. And I've been going through some, I don't even call it problems because, you know, My salvation is nobody's worth my salvation. It's the most important thing, our salvation. That if I, you know, no matter what problem it is, no matter what person it is, you know, we got to learn how to forgive. And he taught me that. And right now, when I was listening, you know, it's a thing that you know, I always have said, you know, when people come upon me and, you know, attack me, you know, and I says, you know what? You're not worth my salvation. And that's true, you know, because God is good and he teaches me to forgive. And all these problems, all these mountains and stuff like that, they're tossed into the ocean, you know, because, you know, God gives us that peace. The word of God says that he came and says that a son was given unto us. The government should be upon his shoulders. He said he should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Peace. You know, he is the Prince of Peace. That's what he is. And we have to claim it, you know, that thy kingdom come, our will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And we're asking for that kingdom here. And it's here already. He came 2,000 years ago. And he came to give us life and to give us to us more abundantly. You know, I was my daughter, you know, she brought me to church. Praise God. You know, she was over there worshiping God, you know, and I watch her. And I take her down when she was about 5. And she used to sing that song of Abraham. All the way down Ogallas. All the way back. You know? And I would tell her, because that's enough, man. You know? At 5 years old, she was over in Kennedy Park, you know, ministering to people. Because she used to sing over there. And, you know, and God used to use her. You know? And I praise God, you know, that God, you know, that that uses her, you know, and anoints her, you know, and she's already baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, and she's, to me, she's a beautiful creature in the Lord, you know, she's, you know, and I pray that, you know, that, you know, I'm waiting for my other daughters, you know, and the whole family, and they're coming, and I promise, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in the household, and I'm claiming it, you know. And she has a beautiful gift, you know, in ministering, just the way, you know, she talks, you know, and you know, a lot of people don't agree with her. But the thing is, they didn't agree with Jesus. But, you know, prayer, you know, and the most, you know, that song that says about that his breath is in our lungs. I always claim that, that my lungs will blow up. And before the anointing of God, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what I urge, you know, I always, you know, I hunger and thirst for righteousness, you know, and I said, Lord, you are pure. Make me like you. I want you to make me like you, you know. I got a long ways to go, but, you know, you are the one, you know, the anointing will break that yoke and will make me whole like he is. He'll make us whole, all of us, to claim it in the name of Jesus. You know, we are kings and priests. We are holy, a holy nation, and we need to claim it. Amen. You know, I'm back to work, and you know, and I praise it because God is doing something there that, you know, that I don't even say nothing to them, and they come and ask me questions, you know. And every time, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, some people want to attack, but they can't do it because the anointing of God, you know. And I was worse than them. And God picked me up. And he made me whole in the name of Jesus. Because that blood, we can't live without that blood. Amen. If we have sickness or disease, we ask that sickness in the name of Jesus to be gone. And I want you to be praying for me because tomorrow I'll be going to get my MRI. I had an MRI, you know, they found a little spot like that in my right kidney. But the thing is, I know it's gone. You see, I had two MRIs. And then a doctor says, well, we're going to have to pull that kidney out. No, you're not. God put that kidney in there. You know, I was created with that kidney. So the thing is, you know, he's not going to take it. The devil's not going to take it. And I says, I want a third opinion. And you know, number three. And number three, they're going to go in there. They're going to, you know, they give me MRI. I says, I want some pictures. I want some proof that it's there. You see? And I'm claiming it right now in the name of Jesus. They says, do you have any symptoms? No. I didn't even know what was in there. You know? So the thing is, you know, I believe that God is going to, you know, take it off. He's going to take it out of there. If you don't have no symptoms, you ain't got nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right.
Good morning, church. Yeah, Wednesday we were talking about the kingdom, and we were talking about wherever we go, we're supposed to be like yeast, you know. We go into the dough and we change the environment. So we talked about wherever we go, we should be like a little appetizer for the kingdom. Wherever we go, we're like an appetizer. And I was praying and I asked the Lord, what are some of the appetizers that we should be leaving? And he said the first thing we should do is don't judge. He goes, there's only one judge. There's only one judge. He goes, wherever you go, no matter what you see, whatever you experience, don't judge anyone. Okay? Number two, he said, protect your words. He says, don't swear. If you don't swear, you're different from 90% of the world. If you're watching your words and your language and you don't swear, they're going to see you're different. Because if you go in the workplace, everybody's cussing, everybody's swearing. But if he sees that you're not swearing, he goes, you're different. Okay? He goes, at all times, try to walk in peace. He goes, the world does not have peace. But if you walk in peace, they will notice something different about you. Speak kindly to your family, to your children, to your friends, and to your enemies. He says, he speak kindly to everybody that you come. That is the character and the traits of the kingdom. He says, walk humbly, love mercy, and do justly. He goes, if you do that, he goes, you're going to shine out among men. And lastly, he says, and the most important thing, have a testimony why you have all these qualities. For we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen.
Amen. Hi. As you can tell, we encourage this type of ministry. We're not going to say no to anyone that God's given you a word, because it's not all about just one person standing up here and talking. It's about you. And so if you feel God has stirred your heart to do this, please. You know, anytime during our worship time or at the end of our worship time, just as today, you know, come up and share what God's given you. One of the things I wanted to say a little bit earlier is that as I was looking out at you guys, all of you sitting there, I felt God was smiling. He had a smile on his face. Even there's so many reasons that sometimes we choose not to be with our fellow church children. Even a rainy day like this can be enough of an excuse to say, I think I'll stay home today. I think I'll just kind of kick back a little bit. So even the simplest thing will give us an excuse to not gather. And I think it puts a smile on God's face whenever he sees all of us gathering together and praising him in unity and just enjoying the fellowship that comes with just being part of a church body. So God loves you. So first of all, we're going to start off today. Every first Sunday of the month, we have a corporate communion, and the ladies are going to start passing out the elements. And so please, as you take the cups, I've said this before, but the two cups are put together, and so the bread is underneath the the juice part. And so be real careful taking them apart, but they will come apart, trust me. Might take you an hour, but it'll come apart. But anyway, once you take them apart, hold on to them because we want to do this all together. And when you get done with this, we get done with the communion part, pass it on to the sides, and then the servants will pick them up from you. And just as I've said before, we really honor the participation of communion. And we need to know that, you know, a lot of churches do it. A lot of people do it. And we don't want you to think that it's just you do it because it's a tradition. We do it, and the Lord says to do it in remembrance of what Christ did on that cross. And so when you take these elements, as we will in a moment, just really focus on that. Focus on our Lord Jesus came with a mission, and nothing changed that place that he was going. And there might have been a time that he was just wondering, as he said, you know, if you can take this cup from me. But he said, your will, not mine. And so as we take this communion this day, just remember that there was nothing that deterred our Lord Jesus from completing the mission that he came out to do. And I hope that in the same way, if he's given us a mission, if he's given us something that we are to do, that you would not let anything deter you. And so as soon as everybody gets done, we will take communion. And I think you're almost all there. But what we would like you to do is please stand. This is an honor to our Lord Jesus. Don't you think he's worthy to stand for? Oh, yeah. Yes. Amen. Stand for, kneel for him, lay prostrate, call out to him. He is worthy. He's the reason we're here. The word says that on the night he was betrayed, as he was with his disciples, that after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he told his disciples that this was his body. And as you see this body, there was a body that was broken, a body that was sometimes even damaged beyond sight. Our sight would not want to see. And he did that so that we could be whole. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup, which was it's a symbol of the blood that he shared. And I always have that image in my mind of from the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet, every drop of blood that was within that man was shed so that our sins would be forgiven. Please take the cup. And just take a moment. And just let your hearts thank him for that, what he did, the work he did on that cross for you and for me. May be seated. Thank you. Here we go. Let's pray. Father God, as I bring forth, Lord, the message that you've given me, I pray that it would be all that you've placed in my heart, Lord. And that, Lord, even though it's my mouth and my voice, Lord, that it's your heart. Thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to speak to your children, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. I want to start off with going to Revelations, and then 19, starting with verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 11. And it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. Almighty, on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Powerful, powerful scripture. So I want to ask you, when I read that scripture, what did you see as I was reading it? What was the image that you had in your mind as I read it? Was it one of a majestic conquering king in all his glory and the perfect specimen of a man? And rightly so, right? We always see Jesus in that perfect way. But we don't really know what Jesus looked like. And we have all these images that we've seen, but none of the New Testament writers, there were some that walked with him, that were physically next to him, they never thought it necessary to have to share what his height was or his weight was or color of hair, whatever. Those things that are so necessary for us anymore to describe ourselves. I have never, maybe you have, but I have never found anything in our Bible that gives those details. And so there's been artists that have painted him. Actors have portrayed him as they imagined him. So what is your mental image of Jesus? So I want to do something right now. And I want all of you to look to your left. And those of you that at the end, there's no one to look at, but everyone turn to your left. And I want you to look at the people that are on your left. Really take a moment to see them. Now, turn to your right and do the same thing. And my question is, what did you see? I was really encouraged this morning with the word that Pastor Henry gave because that is part of my message. You saw men, you saw women, you see children, different heights, different weights, different hair and skin colors. And maybe even if you look this way, you might see some without, but but you get the point. Each of us is a unique expression of God's creativity. We're all different. But we have one thing in common. God's Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us that is sitting in this room today. We may not all look the same, but we have something that we have in common, something that we can relate with. So when God looks at us, he sees the Son. He sees Jesus. So when you look at those around you, whether it be this morning, as I said, look to both sides of you, or those people that are in your home, your family members, those people that are your friends, what do you see? Do you see a person that maybe wasn't very nice to you and now you're upset? Do you see someone that maybe didn't say good morning to you this morning and you go, what did I do wrong? You know what I mean? Don't we all get like that sometimes? You know, we get defensive. We get to where, you know, and sometimes we don't realize the people that are around us and what they might be going through. And yet we start to build some kind of negativity towards that person. So when we look at ourselves, can we see Jesus in ourselves? And I think you would all have to agree that we are our own worst critics. We know where we've been, know what we've done. We see the flaws that are part of us. And so we wind up focusing on those things that aren't really relevant anymore. That's not who we are. And yet, still some of our thoughts and some of our actions may not be very Christ-like. And therefore, we do bring condemnation to ourselves. We're convinced that we're not worthy. We're not worthy enough for God's purpose. You can see others. You can see that God wants to take others to a place, but maybe not you. Yeah, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not that Jesus guy. Even though he loves me, I know he does. I love him. But you feel inferior sometimes. So I want to go now to Hebrews 10, and going with starting with verse 11. And it says, starting with verse 11, it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So think back. Remember the day that that you gave your life to Christ? I think for all of us was something we'll never forget. Things changed. On that day, though, you were reborn. You were reborn on that day that you said, that Lord Jesus was your Lord. Our spirit was immediately changed. At that moment, our spirit was changed. We became a new person on the inside. And through Jesus, we have made perfect. We have been made perfect. And what the word says here, that we have been made perfect by our being made holy. We should not be alarmed that we still have much room to grow. God loves us just where we are, but he doesn't want to leave us there. So by his grace, he can continually cleanse us and set us apart for that special purpose that he has for each of us. But this is not only for some future time. He may be asking for you to do that this day. And sometimes we want to wait for that specific day when our lives are so perfect. And so, yeah, who has a perfect life today? Yeah, raise your hands. And we do have that perfection. We really, really do. But so it could be for this day. The Holy Spirit renews, reeducates, and redirects our minds until our minds come into submission with what the Spirit already knows. Jesus always knew and did as the Father directed. And the Word says that we also have the mind of Christ. The next scripture is that I'm going to read is during the Last Supper. And at that point, it's Jesus telling the disciples that he was leaving. I don't think they were quite ready for him to go. Could you imagine? They're probably thinking, Lord, we got so much more to learn. We got so much more for you to teach us. So I don't think we're ever ready for anyone to leave us, are we? Regardless of who it may be. And so let's go to John 14, starting with verse 18. Okay. So this is Jesus telling his disciples. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm sorry. I started at the wrong spot. Here we go. It says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives within you and will be with you, or will be in you. So the disciples didn't think they were ready. Here Jesus is saying, I'm out of here. I've given you everything I could possibly give you. And now it's up to you to carry on the work that I had begun. And so we don't have any trouble believing that Jesus walked on water, raised the dead, and healed multitudes. But we do seem to have issues when he tells us that we can do the same things and even greater. So could it be that we are focusing on our own abilities? Sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't see ourselves doing the things that Jesus did, even though we can, you know, sit or stand and read the word, and you know that if it's there, he wouldn't say anything if it wasn't something that he would do through us. And so, do we focus on our abilities? When we do that, when we focus on our own abilities, we can do nothing. Nothing can be done under our own strength. To do God's work, we need to believe in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing gets done in our own strength. And if you are doing something without that guidance, without that direction, maybe the wrong timing, as Pastor said earlier, if he's not calling you to do something, don't go do it, because now you're doing it on your own. And I, for one, don't want to be taking the glory for anything that I do. If I do whatever I do, it's because I'm doing it for our Lord. So sometimes maybe there's a waiting period, but sometimes maybe he's waiting for you. He's already given you the directions. He's already set it up. Just waiting for us to take that step. And so it's very, very important that the time that we spend with him, that the words that we read in this book, that they speak to our hearts. We need to know what he wants. And not only in that prayer time, but he's already given us a manual, guys. I was talking to one of my kids the other day and saying about that people always say that parenting doesn't come with a manual. How wrong they are. Here it is. I'll give him a manual. All that we would ever need to make it through life, to get our children prepared for the things that they have to face, it's in this book. So no excuse, guys. If your kids are misbehaving, put them on timeout and have them read the Bible. What a punishment, huh? So let's go to Ephesians 1:3 now. All right. And this is a short one, but it says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. Word says that all good things come from God. So all that are in Christ, that's you, that's me, have been blessed with all we would ever need. Which, by the way, that's the title of my sermon. We have all we would ever need. He's already given it to us. But even though he's already given it to us, we have to receive it. And I wrote a little note here. It says, "It's like having your refrigerator full of good food and you're starving because you never open it."
That's right.
It's your refrigerator. You might even have some ready-made tacos in there, right, Pastor?
It's open.
But that's really the way we have to look at this thing. Everything we could ever need, everything we could ever want is already there for us, prepared, waiting. And it's all a gift. You never have to buy it. Or you never have to earn it. As Ephesians says, We've been blessed. What's a blessing? It's just something that God wants to do. Doesn't do it because you're pretty or not. praise God for that. But he just wants to bless you. And so everything that could ever be needed by us is already there. So I'm going to read about spiritual gifts. And I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11 through 13. And just for your own information, I'm sure most of you already know about spiritual gifts. But you can also find more. There's lists of these things. You can find them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and a couple of other places that you can find spiritual gifts. And I wanted to touch a little bit on this. And the definition for this is that spiritual gifts are for the building and the strengthening of the body of Christ. Each an expression of the Holy Spirit in us. So I want you to know that if you're in this church body, you have a place. You have a place. And I would say that if you're in any church body, I hope they give you a place. But this church wants to acknowledge your place. So, these are spiritual gifts. So what do you do? What are your options when someone gives you a gift? So you can immediately reject it. Somebody gives you something, you can say, no, thank you. I don't need that. I don't want that. You can be bold and blunt, however you want to look it, but you can reject it. Or another one, you can get it, take it, and put it away. Put it away in some dark little cupboard somewhere, and you know, I'll open it later. You know, it can be there. It's still yours. Kind of like the refrigerator, right? Still sitting up there. Never use it, right? Or, as our brother here said, unwrap it. Get excited. And you use it to its fullest. And these are the options. These are the things that that we're faced with when with these spiritual gifts that have been made so available to us. And so when we receive Jesus, we received all of him. We didn't receive a portion, right? His fullness came within us. All that he was, all that he is now here. By his Holy Spirit, he lives within us. So, as I said earlier, you can go through and look at some of these gifts in your own leisure time. But I just picked a few of the items that are part of. And one of them is faith. Faith is in that list. Faith is a gift. And so all the faith that Jesus had is in us. All the faith. We always try to talk about mustard seed faith. Well, I think mustard seed faith got us to believe in Jesus. But now the faith of Jesus is what we can operate in. Because of his faith, all things are possible. And so when we start looking at all those things that are coming against us, all those things that become hindrances, all those storms that are facing our lives, you ever read stories of Jesus going, man, what am I going to do now? Not at all. He was a guy that he had to be woken up just so that he could calm the other guys because his boat was going to sink. And he's going, hey, man, let me sleep, you know? Let me sleep. Everything's okay. And yet, here, his guys, which is kind of a lot of us, right? We're all like, oh, what are we going to do now? And for Jesus, his faith just says, we're fine. This storm is nothing. It's under my realm. And so when we start really looking at and accepting that faith, we I think sometimes we might make a little excuses over that. You know, well, I have faith, but maybe I still need to work on it. Why? Maybe you just need to let it flourish. The faith of Jesus can not only calm storms, it can move mountains. It can do, it can bring healing. You know, you see Jesus, just his faith healing people. There's nothing that faith cannot do if you just know where it's coming from. Here's another one. Some of you might think it's kind of fun. Tongues. Tongues is a gift. Countless scriptures speak of its benefits. And I'm just going to read a few quick ones. 1 Corinthians 14:2. You could go there. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For if anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, indeed no one understands him. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." Think about that. Think about that, the power that is behind what it's saying there. You're talking to God. And so even, you know, we always seem to think that Satan's got a lot to do with what goes on in our lives. And Pastor Henry and I both, we don't like to make his name prime time. So we won't talk about him, but we try to put things on that. And even he doesn't understand our prayers when we're praying in the Spirit. We're not speaking to people. We're speaking to God. This is a one-on-one conversation with God. And so what better can we think that we're doing? And as it says, no one understands. They're mysteries. We may not even understand. We may not understand what we're praying. But does it matter? As long as God understands, right? Maybe even our own thoughts are keeping us from praying in the right way. So that's one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. That says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Aren't you happy for that one? Most of our issues are up here. It says, "My spirit prays." He knows what he's doing. This guy don't. And so what a place to be, that your mind is not interfering with what the Spirit is already wanting to do with you. You don't have that mind even going to places of, who am I going to have lunch with today, or whatever the case may be, things that are unimportant, because the Spirit is already praying for you. And so that's another one. One more. And that's Romans 8:26. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Have you ever prayed so much or so long that maybe you ran out of words to pray? It's like, what do I say next, Lord? Where do I go next, Lord? That nothing, you've gotten to the point that nothing's coming out, except now it comes from the deepest parts of your being. And all maybe you can get out is groans. But guess what? God understands your groans. And there may be times that we have nothing nothing else to give. But he does. He'll do it for you. He'll carry you even through those times that your prayers have just run out. There's a time when the messages in tongues must be interpreted. And there's a, so we have the gift of interpretation. I know when I was writing these notes, I was thinking where it says that there's a time when messages in tongues must be interpreted. I was going to say, there's an app for that. God has an app for that. Thank God for that app. I don't know. I told my wife, I said, sometimes I kill myself. She says, no, let me do that. Mercy is a gift. Teaching is a gift. Giving is a gift. So as you read all the list of all the gifts that have been provided already for you, I would guarantee you that you will find Jesus in all of them. Sometimes we seem to want to demean some of the things that we do, but as Pastor mentioned earlier, nothing is more important than the other. So I want to read one more scripture, and that is 1 John 4:17. And it says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And that was, as you'll notice in the our fold out there, that is the power verse. We always try to put a power verse to kind of show kind of the gist of what we're doing. And so Jesus, short time on earth, changed the world. I mean, he was only in his mid-30s, early 30s, and that man changed the world. So what is it that we can do to change the world? We think, well, I can't change the world. You know that if you change one person's world, you don't know what that person is going to do to change somebody else's world. You have the opportunity to continue to change the world. When Jesus came, he knew he couldn't be with us forever. So that's where he taught his disciples. They had to continue the work that he had begun. And they wrote all those wonderful things in this book, in this manual, so that one day we would be able to continue the work that Jesus began. So God has called us to do great works. And amazingly, which is sometimes it's even hard to think, says that even greater things than Jesus did. Now, I don't know, you know, what those things would be, but even when I try to think of the things that he did, I say, okay, well, let me do those, and then I'll look at the greater. Whatever it is that he's called us to, that we would do it for the glory of God. Some of us want to wait for that perfect moment. I mentioned this earlier. A perfect moment when our lives are in that perfect place. And could that moment be today? We're all a part of the body of Christ. So whatever he's called us to is already within. Waiting to produce fruit. And concerning spiritual gifts, and I'll close with this, there are two common errors that can weaken a church body. One of them is being overly proud of our abilities. Sometimes, because we, and even Paul talks about it, you pray in tongues or you do healing where we think that we're it. Yeah.
No.
I like him. We think we are, and it's not about us. And the second thing that is part of that error is believing that we have nothing to offer. If we can, if the enemy or our own minds can convince us that, as I said earlier, that we have, I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for once I learn this, then I will. Once I finish the book of Psalms, then I'll do it. Once there's always this later, 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 because right now I'm not equipped. God is not looking for ability. He is looking for availability. Yeah. Just say yes, Lord. Yep. And he'll do the rest. Amen. So please stand with me. Father God, the reason we do the things we do, Lord, is because you equipped us, Lord, and you filled us with love, Lord. You are love. And Lord, we want to extend that love to those around us, Lord, our families, our friends. And Lord, in that we would glorify who you are. Lord, I pray that each person today, Lord, would have received something from your word, Lord. And that if there is something that you're calling them to, Lord, that they would have the boldness, Lord, to just step into it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. And thank you, Lord, that you never leave us where we are. You always want to take us closer to you. Amen. So, be Jesus in the world. You already have all you need. Now go love somebody. Woo! Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.